Hey everybody, this is David and welcome to our episode 8 podcast for David's movie and TV talk. And we are going to discuss a movie that hit this week. Finally, we got a movie that we all decided to go out and check. Was it a good one? Was it a bad one? We're about to tell you what we thought of this movie. But with me, I have Derek.
Hello.
And Kevin.
Hello.
And we are going to be talking about Independence Day Resurgence. And I want to give a little introduction first to the movie itself, to the original movie, I guess, you know, which was a classic that came out in 1996. People love this original film. And, you know, I really enjoyed it. I rewatched it again recently. And, yeah, there's a lot of charm and there's heart to it. It's a popcorn flick, but it's a fun popcorn flick, you know? And I want to get your quick thoughts, guys, on the original Independence Day. Kev, what do you remember about it?
I remember enjoying it. It was a popcorn flick to me, at least. It's been a while since I've seen the film, so the film was enjoyable in the sense that, like, it had nice action scenes and a good story and decent acting for a 90s film.
Yeah. What about you, Derek?
It's been like 20 years. It's just, yeah, like Kevin was mentioning, it was very hard to remember what happened in the original film. And that's why when this film came out, I was kind of worried because it's just been so long. Like, will fans really remember the original? Will there be a lot of references from the original to this one? I remember Will Smith's character. This film really has helped Will Smith launch his career. And you always remember, I guess, some of the iconic scenes when Will Smith gets out of his fighter jet and goes and sees the alien for the first time. And then he's like, "Welcome to Earth." And he punches the alien in the face. That was cool. And then another scene is, I guess, the iconic scene that is on all the movie posters is when the White House gets hit with one of the blasts from the alien mothership. So that was also pretty cool. Yeah. And then I guess I remember a lot of the destruction and, the president too, he was a good actor as well in that film. So it's okay. I remember bits and pieces. I guess you could always check it out on TV. It comes every once in a while on some of the channels. They replay it. But yeah, it was 1996. I was just like not even a teenager. I think I was probably like under 10 at that time.
Yeah, I was maybe 13 when it came out, 1996, yeah. And this was the movie that really helped Will Smith get to where he showed that he was a movie star, you know, because at that time he just got out of doing The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and the year before he did the movie Bad Boys with Michael Bay. So on to Independence Day Resurgence. This was, you know, I convinced Derek to come and check it out with us, and Derek was like, okay, fine. And so this was an interesting film right now, and because, you know, reviews were coming out really bad, and I was thinking to myself, it can't be that bad. I mean, and reviews were bad for Batman v Superman, and all of us liked it, so I mean, how bad can it really be? And currently, on Rotten Tomatoes, it was at 41% last time I checked. Right now, it's at 34%. So it's dropping. It's dropping, obviously.
Like a rock.
The audience rating is at 42%, though. But still, I mean, clearly it's a rotten. Both sides are rotten, are considered rotten right now. It's not like, for an example here, Free State of Jones, which has a 41%, but the audience rating has a 67%. So no one's split on this one. Everyone seems to agree that this new Independence Day is a disaster. And people like me and Derek and Kevin, you know, we do our jobs by talking about these movies because this is what our job is, a job that doesn't pay. We sacrifice one for the team, and now we're going to talk about it. And let's get into some of these conversations, guys. Okay, so we go see this movie.
Talk about the trailer first. Let's talk about the trailer.
Well, the trailers have been really good, man. I'll admit, I was impressed by the trailers. So that's my thoughts on that. What about you, Derek?
Well, I saw the trailer, and yeah, it showed obviously a lot of the destruction pieces. Like, they try to get the fans excited again. Mm-hmm. But again, I started thinking, is like, why do they need to do this movie? Like, can't, it's been 20 years. Can't they just leave the classic with the classic? It's always Hollywood is seeming to run out of ideas, and they're like, oh, let's go back and see the old movies and try to redo it or create another sequel that is completely unnecessary.
Well,
but I looked at the concept. This is something that I guess happens a lot in sci-fi comic books and maybe even books, mm-hmm. where you have an alien invasion happen on Earth, the aliens go away, and then Earth evolves with the new technology. And then the aliens come back, and then we could see if Earth could really defend itself again against the retaliation. And that's kind of, I guess, what really, in a nutshell, this movie is about, and what really inspired the whole movie to be a sequel.
Yeah. What about you, Kev? What did you think of the trailers before you saw this movie? And what were your expectations?
I thought it would be just as good as the original, if not maybe a little bit not as great, but thinking back, I was like, oh, giant ships, and, you know, how can they mess this up? They can't really mess this up. There's not really a good chance. But, you know, I thought, okay, gotta, you know, give it a... that see what happens and see where they go with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And then we got to see the movie finally yesterday. Our expectations were low because of the reviews. And this is what we're going to save our final thoughts for last. But okay, we get into this opening of the movie, right? The future technology stuff is there. What did we think about this future technology? Did it fit this type of movie? We'll start with you, Derek. What did you think?
This movie was doomed from the start, okay? We, all three of us, get into the movie theater, and we were ready to go. We had low expectations based on the reviews online, and it just really spoiled the whole night. Like, we started making fun of the movie even before it started, you know, with the whole time play demon work properly. It wasn't any movie trivia or the usual time play. It had advertisements from different, like a car and stuff that didn't make any sense, and me and David both lost terribly. And then the movie took forever to get started. It was like a black screen, and we were like, this is the best scene in the movie.
Oh my god.
So, but to answer your question with the technology was as expected. I guess we had flying cars, and we had their guns. And that's pretty much about it. Maybe a couple suits of armor. But that's about it with in terms of how we incorporated their technology.
I'm going to admit this. I thought the future technology angle came out cheesy. As soon as I saw it, I was like thinking to myself, this is not Independence Day. Because the original Independence Day, which took place in 1996, they even reference it again here. And it was more grounded. It was a little bit more relatable. In this movie, the future technology did not help it make it relatable. And I get it. Fine, we got alien technology, and we used it for our own advances. But I just didn't feel it being legit for this film. And I was actually kind of really... It was a little cringeworthy to me at times, especially that opening where they introduce it to us. Kev?
Oh, the beginning. Man, what can I say? I sat there, and because of the reviews, I was thinking to myself, really, am I going to really watch this film? As it went on.
Okay, continue. Sorry, I was just thinking of something.
As it went on, I don't know. I just couldn't get my mind to sink in with the movie. I just kept thinking, yeah, I like the special effects, the whole futuristic take that they took on it, the technology that they had. It was cool, but it started to feel, as it kept going on, it kept started to feel like a generic movie. Mm. Like,
it was boring in the beginning.
Yeah, and it was, it started being a cliche. Like, I was started to predict half the things that they were showing, and I was just like, oh my goodness, this is predictable writing.
Yeah. The writing, yeah, I have to agree about the writing. The writing was very...
sucked.
Especially that scene. We're jumping ahead now, but whatever. We'll go where the conversation takes us. The whole that death scene with the doctor, the scientist guy who woke up from a coma. Number one, how do you wake up from a coma 20 years later? Okay, maybe things like that have happened. I don't know, but to me, the way the movie did it was so weird. And I'm pretty sure in the first movie he died. I watched the first movie again recently. It looked like he was dead. So the fact that they're all of a sudden pulling it out of their ass, they're retconning things and saying, oh no, he was really in a coma this entire time. I was like, really? He's in a coma now? And okay, fine, let's see where they go. And this character, I liked him in the first movie. I thought he was all right. He's the actor who played Data in Star Trek The Next Generation, which Star Trek The Next Generation is a great Star Trek series. And I'm not even huge on Star Trek, but that series was a great series with a great cast of characters and actors. And he was, you know, Data is one of the most popular characters in Star Trek. And so in the first Independence Day, he was there too. It was a small role though, right? And then this movie, they decide to make his role a little bit bigger. And he's freaking annoying in this movie because he's played more like a cartoon character.
Yes.
And, oh, jeez. And, Derek, you want to continue on this one?
Well, just, first of all, it was very convenient that he woke up from his coma.
20 years right, later.
Yeah, right when the second alien invasion happened. And then he started getting all these weird messages from the aliens and writing them down without really having any sense or reason as to why. We never, that was never really explained, right? And yeah, he was just annoying. Every time he was on screen, it was just silly jokes that never really made me laugh. They were like trying so hard to make the audience feel like humor, add humor to the whole movie, but it was just really like you could roll your eyes at it. And yeah, then you had the scene, which I'll let you describe the scene. To Kevin, if you want.
Okay, let me describe the scene. I guess the scene I was referring to, because I didn't, I guess I forgot to, because I went on a rant, where his friend, I guess, his doctor friend, whatever, his partner.
Meaningless characters that we don't care about.
Exactly. He was dying, he got hit by an alien. And Dr. Olaf, or whatever the heck you want to call him, Data from Star Trek, he went over to his friend and tried helping him, and he was like saying weird, like things that shouldn't matter. Like the guy dying was like pointing at his sweater, "You're wearing the sweater I gave you," and I'm like, "What? What does this have to do? What? You're dying, and you're the important
sweater.
Thing is his sweater? What?" Kevin, you want to add anything to this?
To the sweaters thing?
To anything about this character.
I had high hopes for him, and then, I don't know, it just became like a fart.
Yeah.
Just a nasty smell the entire film. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, man. It's,
it is like, what it is. He had good moments, though. There was the moment where he was trying to break open that canister thing that was holding that orb,
Oh, yeah.
and he had that giant laser. That giant laser, that whole part was cool, but like, when he was actually trying to open up all that stuff and do that stuff was kind of cool. But yeah, I agree with you guys on the whole 20 years coma thing. It was just too much. They just should have just explained that he was partly in a coma for a while and that he was in a hospital, and then go from there. Like, he was slowly recovering from the thing. I would have believed that a little bit more than a 20-year coma. Like, how do you stay alive for 20 years in a coma? Is that
Don't they
even
usually pull the
possible?
plug?
Oh, you go, Derek. I think you can
Don't they
discuss.
like kill you off if it's like that long?
Yeah.
It's up to the his family members, I guess. And where was his family members to begin with?
I kept thinking the entire time, like, how did he survive? Did they like shove a tube down his throat and fed him that way, or like how? Like, how did he eat? How did he survive? He would be like a skinny toothpick.
Yeah, he was kind of fat too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they fed him good while he was in the coma, I guess. But yeah, and in that sense, we can go on. There was something you said but I lost my mind, so
But when that scene happened, I remember you like got up and started like shouting, "What the fuck, man?" Because
I don't do
you
this
couldn't
in the theater.
believe
Come on.
you couldn't believe what dialogue you were listening to,
Oh yeah,
how
that. Oh,
cheesy it
that scene.
was.
It was unbelievable to me that like this is the dialogue they're going with a death scene. They're not even going to try to make it dramatic. And is it because he's a comedic character? I don't know. But anyways, what Kevin mentioned the orb. And now I want to talk about this orb thing. So this orb thing comes in the beginning, more or less, of the movie. And it looks like it might be an enemy, but they're questioning. Jeff Goldblum's character is saying, hey, maybe this isn't an enemy. Maybe we shouldn't blast it. Maybe we should see what it is. And what do we think about this orb thing that came? Like, what was your first impressions and then the reveal of it? Because it was revealed to be an ally from another planet. It's our spoiler review, so I'm spoiling it now. And yeah, it looks like the orb thought it was a primitive species. They didn't know what humans were or whatever, and they actually wanted to come and help fight the good fight against these evil aliens. Ah, man. Kevin, start us off with this one. What did you think of this orb?
I thought it was a cool concept, just poorly executed, maybe. I don't really know. It had a cool idea. I just didn't understand why they shot it in the beginning. It didn't shoot at them, and it just came out of nowhere in the beginning. And then they shot at it because they thought it was an alien or something. Why couldn't the orb just like been on Earth without them knowing, or like slip by them and they didn't notice, like something cool like that, and comes to them or says something to them in the beginning and say, "Hey, don't shoot me," instead of staring at each other for like a good 5 minutes.
Seriously.
Yeah, it was, I don't know, like I had a problem with that.
That was quick to forgive the humans after. I just
Yeah,
didn't care.
that's
It's like, oh, you shot me, but these aliens are really bad, so I help
Yeah,
you
I'm gonna
get.
forgive you.
What about your thoughts on this whole orb thing, Derek?
Well, it was just another race of aliens that they got attacked by the bad aliens, and then their bad aliens were trying to use their planet and almost every planet for the melted core in the middle for their energy to power their actual spaceships and their whole civilization. And then the orb was the last of its kind, which again is another cliche. But it came to Earth. Humans were stupid and said, "Let's shoot at it." It blew up. Then they investigated it, and they cut open again. It's another cliche, it's cutting open the thing. The orb actually kind of reminded me of an episode of Doctor Who. There's actually a similar orb in that episode. So I don't know if they took that idea directly from the Doctor Who.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It's actually from the, I think it's second Doctor. I'm not sure what season, like season two, season three. Anyways, it was just, yeah, it was rather silly. It had advanced technology since humans weren't as advanced. And then they poked fun at each other for a little bit. And then came kind of the ending where the orb was trying to set up the sequel to this movie.
Oh my, let's save that for last though, because that, yeah, we'll get to that later. First my thoughts. Just like you guys, or Kevin, I thought it was a nice little setup. Okay, I said, okay, this seems interesting. I don't know what this orb is, but we'll find out. And I was intrigued by it for a little bit. And then it was, at the end, when it was finally revealed what it was, that it was a living organism from another planet, it just got me thinking, so are all the species on that planet look like orbs? I thought that was kind of uncreative, but I don't know. I didn't like that idea. And then the orb was like talking, and then I thought it was going to be an alien from within the orb coming out and then helping them out. But it turned out to be no. The orb is a living thing.
Well, it uploaded its consciousness into the virtual kind of machine, and that was what the orb was. It's a machine that has the consciousness of an alien.
Oh, I see. Okay. I must have missed that part because I was like thinking to myself the entire time, what the hell are they doing with this movie? By that time, maybe I was just not paying attention to the full details. I don't know. But
the orb didn't even help them out. It just said, you're going to get attacked and it's coming for me and it knows where I am.
Okay,
that's
well,
it.
If the alien transferred its consciousness, I guess that makes a little bit more sense. But still,
the orb didn't do anything though. It just the alien's after me. It's gonna kill me first because I'm its enemy.
Yeah.
And then it didn't bring any weapons. It doesn't have any weapons of its own. If you're gonna come and defend an ally against your enemy, you should at least bring some more weapons or something.
Yeah.
Don't just be like, I'm here. I'm not going to do anything.
I was thinking that myself, too, while watching it. I was hoping the orb was going to do something, like shoot lasers or whatever, and help out Liam Hemsworth and Will Smith Jr., but that didn't happen, so the orb, you're right, the orb was useless. Speaking of Liam Hemsworth and Will Smith Jr., what do we think of some of these new characters in this movie? Or what do we think about all the characters in this movie? If there's any that you want to talk about, throw their names in. One positive thing I can talk about, I enjoyed seeing Jeff Goldblum back. I'm not going to lie. I thought he was a nice role.
He was the best one there.
Yeah, the best one there. Bill Pullman as the ex-president, I guess. It was cool seeing him again, but I felt the character was a little off in this one for me. I know he was like, something was going on with him and some of the other characters too. Like they were going crazy because of, I guess, the aliens infected them in the last movie. But I don't know. I didn't like the way he was playing. I felt like he wasn't putting his all in this one. I felt like he was just doing it for the paycheck. I didn't feel his acting ability was up to par of what he could be usually. And I like that actor. I've seen him in other movies before. But this movie felt like he wasn't in it. Felt like he didn't want to be there. And was there any... I guess there was another returning actor, but I want to hear some other actors from you guys. But I will say that the newer actors I all thought were bland and boring.
Yes.
Take it on, Derek.
Okay, so just to go back on the president... He didn't really have too much of a role. Like, they kind of gave him a role towards the end. In the beginning, he was just like, oh, warning, stuff is going to go down, which everyone already knew. Stuff was going to go down anyways. Mm-hmm. So his warning was kind of useless. It's like, yeah, we know. Aliens are attacking. We see them.
It's true.
So it was kind of, like, silly. And then he was just a weird old man that was just there. Like, I thought he looked cool. He had that beard, he had the cane.
Yeah.
But it just would have been better if he was a little bit more involved. Like, I wanted him to be like that, and I told you before the movie, that same-looking actor that was in Tron Legacy, you know, had that kind of, like, you know, wisdom kind of, you know, Oracle kind of sense to him, and I wanted him to be kind of that character. And then, towards the middle, like, he shaves off his beard, which didn't make any sense, but I guess it was another cliche. He's like, "Oh, I'm ready to take battle. This, I'm going to do the ultimate sacrifice."
Yeah.
And then he gets into that ship to explode the mothership, which was fine. It was okay. And then he pretty much just, like, that's it. That was the end of his character. He seemed a little bit cooler in the last movie. He had that speech.
Yeah.
He could have done another speech.
It seemed like they were about to do another speech. There was that little speech that the acting president, I guess, was going to do, but then it turned out to be something small and simple, and it was like
It wasn't as impactful. So
yeah.
It was a little disappointing with what he brought to the table. And they had his daughter, which I heard his daughter. I was watching another review. His daughter, they recasted from that movie, so
yes.
Yes. Original daughter, she's actually grown up, and I heard was a pretty good actress.
Mm-hmm. I heard the exact same thing. I don't know if it was Chris Duckman or Jeremy Johns who was saying that. I heard someone, one of those guys, say something exactly what you're saying right now.
And it's unfair that she didn't really get a chance to go into this movie, the movie that really probably was one of her first films that she has ever done. So it's kind of, and then they just had to get another woman to play her part that actually had to, you know, be an eye candy for the audience, be a little bit more attractive. And again, that character as a woman didn't really do much. They had tried to make her character in it so that, you know, Liam Hemsworth had a little bit more three dimensions. Like, you kind of feel that he's newly engaged, he has a family, and you feel sorry for him. But again, she didn't really do much. You don't even know why she was there, to be honest. Like, she was some kind of a officer in the army, and she didn't really do much.
No,
she's very forgettable. And then you have the whole Will Smith fiasco, where Will Smith wasn't in this movie, and it's kind of strange how he died. It would have been better if the other guy with the coma died and Will Smith was here, or whatever. He died somehow. I didn't really explain why or how. I thought he was
apparently
killed.
I was reading this online. Sorry to cut you in, but I wanted to mention this. Apparently someone mentioned that it was mentioned in the movie that he died 10 years ago. I don't know the reason, though.
But from what?
That's the problem.
I thought originally it was Liam Hemsworth that actually killed him by accident or something.
That's what I thought, like, too. Remember, I even turned to you and I said that at first. And then later, apparently that was the accident that was done towards his son instead. And I turned, maybe it wasn't that.
Yeah, and his son just escaped.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then they tried to make them fight, like, get angry at each other because of that, which tried to, I guess, build some more character development, but kind of fell flat little bit.
No, I agree totally. How about you, Kev? Any characters you want to talk about, mention?
I mean, I like Jeff Goldblum's character.
Yeah.
He was actually better in this one than he was in the first one, for some reason.
I thought he was the same.
I felt he had a little bit more to do. He didn't have much character development, but I felt like he had more to do in this film.
Yeah.
Going around, and he's kind of taking on the aliens at the same time. The only thing I'm going to say is, because you guys were talking about the girl and the guy, Liam Hemsworth and the girl.
Yeah.
I felt their relationship was pointless. I even forgot that they even had a relationship in the movie. Like, they showed themselves in the beginning that they had, you know, they're engaged, and they said they were engaged, but then I forgot that they were engaged or they were together, because it didn't play it up. And then at the near the end, they started being close and were like, oh yeah, it's right there in a relationship.
I mean, if aliens are coming down,
and aliens are coming down,
they should have been a little bit more, you know, worried and scared, and they weren't scared.
They didn't feel like real humans.
No one was scared. Everyone was just like, all right, we'll talk to aliens, no problems.
Yeah, we did this before, we can do it again, bitch.
No, like, there was no emotional thing.
Yeah.
There was no one was scared. No one was, like, afraid, you know, making tough decisions. And, you know, it was just people, you know, worried about the aliens and stuff. But
And that's what made the original movie, I think, better, because you did feel that fear, because they were going up against an unknown, and we were with them. We understood what they were feeling, because we didn't know what this thing was in the first movie. It's like, yeah, it's like, oh, now we're all experienced. We battled them once, and now we're going to go up against them again. Yeah, you're right, man. I agree with that.
Yeah, we forgot about one crucial character.
Yes, I was actually going to mention him.
The bus.
The bus, the kids, the old man, David's father, Jeff Goldblum. Remember, he had a father in the original movie. He's back in this one, where I think in the original film he had funnier lines. This one, he's put with a group of kids. We have a side story of an adventure of an old man with a group of kids, which seems kind of creepy when you put it that way, but that's what happened. And I'm like, oh god, why are they doing this? It's like they're forcing the old man to be it. I thought they should have killed him on the boat sequence when he was on the boat and he saw the ship coming. I thought they could have killed him there and give David more drama,
yeah,
you know, to grieve over, like, oh shit, he lost somebody too, and then make him realize that he should have spent more time with his father instead of doing science or something.
Yeah,
that like
actually,
that,
David, you should have wrote this movie.
I know, right? And unfortunately they didn't. They kept him alive somehow. I don't know how you survived that, especially an old man his age. And so he goes on a road trip with kids to find Area 51. Derek, talk about this.
I don't know. Whenever you introduce kids in a movie, I'm sorry, it just takes away from the seriousness.
It depends on the movie.
Iron
Man 3, I thought the kid in that movie was hilarious.
That was a weak point for me on Iron Man 3, though. It was a little bit, it took away from it, the whole seriousness.
Yeah, but it was mostly comedy with the kid.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr. Throwing some... Anyways,
the kids were forgettable. They didn't really... No one really knew the kids' names, and they're all just part of this whole side story. It just made no sense. They didn't do anything. They just did a road trip, and like you said, they could have used that time to further develop other characters or to make a little bit more knowledge about what's going on and really make the story better. But no, they had the kids, and it was just, it seemed like a waste. It's just really another slap in the face to fans and to this movie, more of a nail in the coffin, and that's really probably annoyed a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. It was kind of like the Jar Jar Binks of this movie, if you want to put it that way. What about you, Kev? What did you think of the old man and his road trip with kids?
Ah, pointless. I even forgot that he was in the film until you mentioned it.
Oh, no, I remember him because that was hilarious that somebody actually thought that that would be entertaining for an Independence Day movie.
I agree with you, but, like, I forgot after watching the movie that he was even in it. That's how pointless his scenes were, that I don't even know what was his point. Like, I'm laughing at it now.
Yeah, it was really pointless.
It was like the writers were like, oh, you know what we could do? We could put kids and the old man, and they're trying to go to Area 51. That'll be amazing.
And it will be funny.
I think for me, that's where the movie started losing itself even more. Like, the first half of the movie I felt was, okay, this is fine. They're setting things up. Let them set things up. Let's see where they take it. And then after the destruction of Earth, that's where the movie, for me, really starts falling apart.
It starts getting annoying.
Exactly. And, yeah. My God, that ending, I mean, the action and the special effects were really cool. I'm not going to lie about that. I like.
There was like a lot of CGI though. There's so much stuff going on in the screen.
For this movie, I guess you need it, right?
I guess that was the one good part about this movie is you had, at least it looked good.
Yeah, I mean, when you saw the destruction of London and all that, like, that was really cool. I remember my jaw dropping because I'm like saying, and remembering the original Independence Day when they did the destruction of New York in that movie. I remember, wow, this is how far we've gone in special effects. This is amazing. But special effects doesn't help a movie be good, you know?
Look at Transformers.
Exactly. And we get to this ending of the movie here. And we have this all-out battle. I'm a little conflicted about the giant alien fighting the ships. I don't know what that was all about, but...
They could have ended it off with the president committing suicide, blowing up the mothership, and then there you go. It's done.
I'm going to tell you the truth, though. If it did end it there, I would have still been disappointed because I thought that was so rushed. They rushed the president's or the ex-president's sacrifice.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seemed like there are times where they were rushing and other times where they tried to make the movie longer with the kids on the bus.
Oh my god. Yeah, seriously. And then we get to this very ending here. I guess we'll talk about this now. I think we're catching up to the end here. And yeah, after the big battle is done and they kill this giant alien, which first I want to say, how did that alien fit in that ship? Because that alien looked like he had to be crouching down in that ship.
He's huge.
It looked like the same size as the ship.
Yeah, no, that's like, true.
Was that a one-man ship that the alien was driving? I have no idea. But anyways, we get to this ending here.
And it was, again, a cliche. They attacked it from the back.
Yes.
Like, oh, yeah, and that doesn't make any sense. Where did that, that weird guy from that African, like, warlord come from? That guy was weird.
I think he was a new character. He came from the place.
That didn't make any sense. He was just there.
Came. Yeah.
It's like, who is this guy? And he's like, I killed so many aliens.
I actually liked him, though.
Yeah, I thought he was okay.
He was cool, but he was just more of like...
He was a new character.
He was just pointless. There.
Yeah, yeah, he was pointless.
You didn't know why, but he was just there. And it was, like, I guess he was cool. He had the swords. And he said, you have a heart of a warrior. That was the best line in the movie, okay?
I have a heart of a warrior. That was badass, though, when he cut that alien. He was pretty badass. Okay, I'll give him that. But, yeah, he was just there. You're right. There.
Also, and what's with this moon base? Like, what was it for?
I have
was
no
it
idea.
A weapon? Was it, like, colonizing the moon? We didn't understand. And it turned out to be, I guess, a weapon.
I guess. It didn't do its job very well, clearly.
They could have mentioned, like, oh, Earth is trying to defend itself against another attack, so this is our moon base.
So, we get that at the very end here, though. The moon base was dumb. But we get to the very end here. I wanted to talk about this very ending here, where they set up a sequel to the next movie, and they do it in the most cringe-worthy way. Like, there's ways you can set up a sequel, but without making it obvious, you know? This one knocks you on the head with it. Hey, we're going to make a sequel, guys! And, Derek, you want to describe the scene for me? You could probably describe it better.
Well, the aliens are defeated. All of them fall from the sky and hit the ground. And then the mothership is called back because the aliens are retreating and the mothership... It gets called back to the alien homeworld. And then the orb is there, and he gives the scientists knowledge that there's another planet out there that has all these other aliens trying to fight these bad aliens. And then Earth was going to help them somehow. And the scientist guy that everyone hated already with his stupid dialogue, and he was like, oh, I know more about the universe. And he said, let's go all the Earthlings are going to go in space, and we're going to go take the fight to them in space.
And then it goes black.
And then, yeah, from
and
there.
I just, like, I think I was laughing out loud because I couldn't believe that that was how they were ending it. Like, they had the balls to think that this movie was going to be great. And yeah. They left that there. So now whenever people go back and watch this movie, there's not going to be a sequel coming. I can guarantee that.
I hope so.
Because from what I've been hearing, it's not tracking so well. Unless it does great in China and other places in the world. Domestically right now, though, this movie is not looking so hot. It's looking.
Our theater was almost empty.
Yeah. Well, it was half full, I guess. Half. But yeah, I if I was Fox right now, I'd be a little worried. And you knew that this movie, as soon as the idea of the movie not being shown to critics on the day, you know, usually it's a good sign when they show it a week in advance, right? The reviews. This one held reviews down until Thursday of that day.
And smart.
They say that is a bad sign when it comes to movies. Because that means the studio knows that this is a piece of trash. And so they're trying to hide it from the general public who's going to go see it that Thursday night. Hey, come guys, don't worry about reviews. They're not even out yet. And then people get sidetracked and they realize, oh crap, we paid for this. So
yes.
I didn't mind because it gives us something fun to talk about. And I
we
enjoy
have a podcast.
Watching movies. And, yeah, I love talking about movies, even the bad ones. There's some enjoyment talking about the bad ones, I feel. I mean, look, I think this conversation today has been so great, bashing this movie left and right. So, yeah, this whole ending was so cliched, so forced, so obvious. Derek, what did you think?
Well, I think I saw your review on your YouTube. And how you described how the guy looked directly into the camera when he was announcing the sequel. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't think movies should do this. Movies should make the sequel a little bit of a mystery, whether they're going to continue or not, and leave it open. And then it gives the studio time to see, oh, if this movie was well received, we could make a sequel. And you just shouldn't make a sequel just because you can. Mm-hmm. Like, fans want good sequels. Fans want good continuations. We don't want crap and then thrown again with more crap. And that's where, again, I came at this movie. Is like, why are they making this movie? Why are they touching it? What's the original was fine the way it was. You don't have to change it again. And I guess they were just trying to go off the name. They're just trying to go off the nostalgia. But if they ever do come up with a sequel, I don't think fans are going to go to it. I don't think the studio will probably take a risk on it again. If they lose a lot of money on this film, they're not going to go and try to do another. So the movie was just bad. It was boring. It wasn't as interesting. The characters weren't fun. The action really wasn't the greatest. And it just felt like a rip. And I guess now like you were saying at the end, when we were driving home, you said this movie probably would have did better if it was released back in 1990s or early 2000s. At least at that point, people could appreciate the cheese, and we didn't have a lot of great movies out back then, and it could have felt like a closer continuation. But now, waiting 20 years, it just felt like a flop, and a huge one at that.
Yeah, and that goes to also the 90s thing. Yeah, if this has come out, because I saw someone tweet something, so it had me think about it. And yeah, it does almost feel like a 90s movie, an 90s action sci-fi movie, one of the not a lot of those great ones at the time. But I think it would have done better because it would have came sooner, right after the original. And people would have ate it up and enjoyed it more. But I think we've been spoiled with so many great written movies that are action and sci-fi, like Guardians of the Galaxy and Star Wars and all that, right? That this movie does not even compare to those ones. And I agree with that. So,
like, were they serious with this movie, or were they just taking fun? Is this like a parody? They can call it a parody. Because you don't know what we're doing. You don't know if they were trying to make it a comedy, if they were trying to be serious. Because if they're trying to be serious, then they should have got rid of all those lines and just make it serious, like make it urgent, make it like the second doomsday to the earth. They didn't have that.
As for your statement, though, about if they should have made it, they don't have to make any movie, really, if you think about it. The question is, are you going to make it good? You can make a sequel to anything, or you can make a story to anything. It doesn't really have to be made. Like, we don't need an Iron Man 3 or 4 or 5, or an Avengers 3, 4, and 5, etc. But if you're going to do it, just do it good. That's all. So I think, yeah, in Independence Day 2 or 3 or whatever, they could have done it good. But unfortunately, they messed it up. And you can tell this was just a cash grab. They did it for, oh, we're going to make easy money with this, so don't worry about it. That's how I looked at it. How about you, Kev?
My thoughts on the film?
On the ending there, how they set up a sequel.
Oh, lame. very lame. I really did not like it. I felt really, really too rushed and forced down my throat. I felt that, like someone was literally getting a big-ass hamburger that was not properly cooked and tried, like, you know, tied me to a seat and tried shoving it down my throat and saying, it's good, it's good. And I'm like, no, it tastes like dog turds. And you're like, no, eat it. And yeah, no.
Yeah, it was a disappointing ending. And with that, we are going to give our final statements on this movie. Whether you recommend it or what, give your score as well. And I'll start this off, I guess. This movie is an embarrassment to films of this year. Is it the worst movie of all time? I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say it's the worst movie of all time. I can see how some people might like this type of cheese, but most people, most sane people, will know that this movie has problems. This movie has issues. This movie, there was no effort put into this movie. So I can't recommend it to anybody. Even fans of the original, I think you will be disappointed with it. And with that being said, I'm giving this movie a 4 out of 10. I think there's very little to enjoy from it. But I can... Jeff Goldblum was really cool. It was great seeing him back. Bill Pullman... Even though I didn't like the way the character was portrayed, I thought he was fine. And the guy with the swords who can kick ass, he was cool. The beginning showed a little potential, maybe. But it all fell flat to the end, so 4 out of 10 for me. How about you, Derek?
Yeah, well, again, I was just didn't really look forward to this movie. Then got the bad reviews, and then went in and saw it, and was still... going in with very, like, I had very low expectations, and the movie didn't deliver. So it was a cheese fest, and it was silly. I don't know. I keep thinking, if Will Smith was in it, will it kind of redeemed itself a little bit more? Mm. Will we get better dialogue, funnier things happening, and everyone gets the nostalgia back with Will Smith in the role? I think that's what really made this movie suck for me, is everyone got disappointed Will Smith wasn't in it. And if he was, he would have taken the lead again, and he probably could have made it cool. He probably would have not been as cheesy, and he would have been more kick-ass. And then he probably would have been fighting aliens and stuff. And then everyone else would have been the same, and he would have been more of the action star of this movie. And I heard, I guess I was watching another review, they had two scripts. They had one without Will Smith and one with Will Smith. And the reason why Will Smith didn't do it, I guess he was doing too much at the time. But he did want to be part of it. He just said that he chose Suicide Squad ahead. And I guess that was probably a better choice for him. Because if he was in this movie and maybe not in Suicide Squad, maybe fans would have lost out on a great movie, which is Suicide Squad. It would have been probably, you know, having that character in that role would have been, it was interesting, and we all are excited to see Will Smith in that role. But here, he was greatly missed. They showed a couple pictures of him all the time, and I think that's another, like, nail in the coffin, is Will Smith not being there, all the cheese, all the cliche, all the boring subplots, all the, like, useless characters. There are just so many things going wrong with this movie, so I don't really recommend it. Even if it comes on Netflix and you could watch it, just don't waste your time. There's so much stuff on Netflix that you could check out otherwise.
Yeah.
Unless you're, like, really bored and just want mindless action. And that's, yeah, that's what it appeals to. Maybe some audience members are just like, I want to see stuff blow up and I want to see aliens.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this movie has that. That's really the only audience that I could say this movie is for. But if you really want to have a movie with incredible acting, like, that has a good complex story, good twists and turns, interesting plot elements and stuff that makes you think and it really surprises you, this movie doesn't have that. And I guess when the movie was ended, I started joking around saying this is the best movie ever. And seeing your reaction was hilarious, saying this movie deserves an Oscar. And it's just sad that movies get done this way, and it's really unfortunate that I guess studios have to make their money and they can't just pull the plug on the movie when it's finalized. Because it was embarrassing, and it just, to them, I feel bad, and I feel that fans spoke, and this movie is going to continue getting rotten reviews. Many people are not going to watch it, but it might do better somewhere else. But I think North America is the ones that really should matter in this case, because we got to see it and we didn't like it, and yeah, you can see all the bad reviews, and that's why I think bad reviews are good sometimes, because it just warns fans and say, well, look, this movie, the critics are not giving a good chance, and this is just really bad. Like, this is a warning. Mm-hmm. And if you go see this, like, be prepared to not be satisfied. And that's really why I hate going to movies that have bad reviews, just because it just makes me feel like I've been wasting my money and really putting it into something that I don't want to see continue. And by going to the movie theater and voting with my dollars, you're making them have more power to make another shitty sequel that no one wants to see again.
That's true.
I don't know. It's this movie. I guess it was just at the end of the day, it was fun that we all got to check it out. It was fun that we got to bash it. It's fun that we all got to talk about it and stuff. Like, if this movie was just okay, like an 7 or 8 out of 10, we probably would have just talked about it, saying, yeah, it's good, we like this, we like that, and then we would have been done with it. At least this movie, because it's so bad, we had a lot of good moments that we got to talk about. And I guess if you're going in with that attitude, you just want to talk about it, rip on something and just have fun, maybe that's for you. Like, sometimes those cult classics and the ones that are filled with cheese end up doing well, mm-hmm. you know? So that's kind of what I put this under. And then we were making fun how we were going to go and see another crappy movie and maybe even create the podcast full of crappy movies. All we'll review is just crap.
I don't know if I can handle that, but...
That'll be our channel, and that's what people would like to see, is us making fun of stuff that makes no sense whatsoever. But, yeah, I just... if you really want something value for your dollar, I would say choose another movie. I don't know if there's any good ones out there right now, but...
Captain America is still out there. Finding Dory was really good. So there's quite a lot still out there that's...
But in terms of action, there's not really much
Captain
yet.
Captain America.
Well, Captain America, but that's like... it's already been on the theaters for a while.
Yeah.
So you just... If you are going out and you have to choose a movie, it's going to be tough right now to see something that is maybe worth your dollars. Yeah, maybe Finding Dory will be something that you should check out. But other than that, try to avoid this movie if you can. And just if you're listening to this podcast and didn't see the movie yet and your friends want to see it, just tell them, let's go do something else. because really you're all going to get disappointed, and it's just not fair to. And then movie tickets are not cheap; they're expensive now. Yeah, they're like, you know, almost $20. Like it's crazy. So
that's why it's good to go on Tuesdays.
Yeah, it is to go on the cheaper days. And again, like we have so many other ways to spend those $20. You can get a Netflix subscription and watch really good movies and have a lot of fun with that. And so that's kind of unfair. But hopefully the studio learns from this and they take more attention to detail when they release another film. And, you know, we all want to see movies succeed. We don't want to see movies fail.
Yeah.
We want to see the movies do well, and we want to see movies that are entertaining and fun. And so unless the movie is like before intentionally saying that it's a parody, then it's all right to throw in lots of cheese. But if it's trying to be serious and then it does this, we kind of feel like, what are these writers doing? Why are they getting paid so much? And why are we here?
Oh, if the movie bombs, you can guarantee they're not going to be paid that much. So what would be your score for this movie?
It's just really tough for me to give it a score because I don't know any redeeming qualities. I guess I was jokingly saying 2 out of 10. I guess that's not fair. There's a lot of stuff that goes into making a movie. There's a lot of people that it's like it's not their fault. It's not the fault of some of the actors that the movie was crap. It's not the fault that they didn't get good lines. It's not the fault that they had to spend so many hours trying to do the CGI and stuff. Mm-hmm. You gotta look at it in terms of the whole movie package.
I agree.
For the writing, it was really terrible. They could have done way better. Writing, I'll give it a solid, like it was 2 out of 1 out of 10. For the way the movie looks, it was good for the time. It's not like other movies that come out today look even better than this movie or look even worse. It's a period that it came out and looked exactly like a movie that came out today. And they got good new actors. And they had returning actors. And so I would give it 2 or 3 out of 10. I'm sorry, but
no, don't be sorry, man. That's an honest answer. And believe me, I guarantee you, there's probably people that would give this movie a 0. I guarantee it. So don't be sorry. That's an honest opinion. I like it. And what about, like, 4 out of 10? I mean, 4 out of 10 isn't that far off either. So I was almost going to give this a 3. But then I said I was a little. I'm more generous, so that's my problem. What about you, Kev? What would you give this movie?
Well, I enjoy the action scenes and the guy, the black guy with the 2 katanas or 2 swords, and the orb, the good orb.
Jeff Goldblum.
Those things, just to clarify, those things were the best highlights of the movie. I really enjoyed those parts. But other than that, this movie is a cliche wrapped in another cliche wrapped in a sweaty, smelly turd. Okay? Other than that,
you
that's
planned
it.
That, didn't you?
Yes. So I gave it a 4 out of 10. I'm still a little indecisive, but 4 out of 10, I guess.
So that was our spoiler review. It was a good one. It was enjoyable talking about this of Independence Day Resurgence. And I don't think we'll be reviewing bad movies all the time. Hopefully not.
Who knows? You could create a successful channel.
No, I agree. But I want to try reviewing good movies as well. Come on, guys. We got to get a good movie in here one day. And so with that being said, we are going to be signing off. Kev, sign off first.
I'm Kevin Jordale, and you can find me on Kevin_Jordale on Twitter. And check out my website, KevinJordale.com.
Plug. And Derek, you want to plug anything in?
Well, I'm going to plug in maybe a few things. First of all, next week, it's going to be Canada Day. So I'm going to plug that because that's important. This movie was about Independence Day. It's more American. Rock Canadians. So happy Future Canada Day. That's for true. Next week on July 1st.
That's true. We should make it maybe a Canada's Day marathon theme. I don't know. Anything else?
That's pretty much it. There's
anything else? Okay.
Portuguese soccer game or something. I don't know.
The Portuguese. Oh, that's right. Portugal's playing today, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be cool. And with that, I am David Jordao. You can follow me at iCrazyDavy as well as my YouTube channel, youtube.com/. David Jordao, and Facebook. I have a Facebook page for my videos as well and all that. And with that being said, take care.